Hello, everyone. This is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Thank you for joining me today. Our web address is crossandthrone.com. Again, it's crossandthrone.com. And our phone number, 847-312-4676. And by the way, we also have another web address. It goes to the same place. It's called paulsevangel.com. I don't know if you're aware of that, but a lot of people had problems pronouncing cross and throne, so we added one called Paul's Evangel. Paul's Evangel is really what we're about here, the evangel that God gave to Paul and the salvation of all mankind, and through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Well, we are in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and we'll have some announcement at the end of this program about an upcoming conference we're having. But if you have your Bibles, please turn with us to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. And for those of you who've been patient the last few programs, as we've gone through Ephesians chapter 1 again using the concordant literal New Testament, and we will get into continuing now in our studies. Now, we pointed out in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14, that this is really the charter of the ecclesia, and the word ecclesia means church. The church, which is his body. And in verse 3 to 6, we saw the Father's purpose for the church before the disruption of the world. Verse 7 through 12, we saw the delivering work of the Son. And verse 13 and 14, we saw the seal of the Spirit. And so we see this great blessing that comes to us in these in this section here. And we saw there's something unique. We had spiritual blessings. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing. In verse 13, it says that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So spiritual blessings call for a spiritual seal. And in Ephesians, later on, we're going to read that we're to sing spiritual songs. So spiritual blessing calls for spiritual songs. Now, that word spiritual is very interesting. And we have a tool, something available for you I think you ought to get, and that's the study of the word spirit and the study of the word soul. We have a book called Spirit, Spirits, and Spirituality, and a little booklet called What is Soul and What is Death by A.E. Nock. And this is such an important study because theology has got the term soul and spirit so confused that we sometimes when we talk, we mean spirit when we're talking about the soul, or we mean the soul, we're talking about the spirit. This subject has to be understood. So if you want a copy, we're going to send you a set of this book, Spirit, Spirits, and Spirituality. If you send us a check for $12, we'll put them out in the mail to you. That includes the shipping. It's P.O. Box 421, Round Lake, Illinois, 60073. And this is an important study. We can't get into all the details on this program, but there's no work like that on this subject. We need to understand this. Well, we're in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, and Paul starts out by saying, "Therefore, I also," and I is emphatic, "I also." In other words, now he's adding to what he just said in these previous verses. "I also, on hearing of this faith of yours," literally, it is, "I also, on hearing of the faith corresponding to you." Now, we pointed out that in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he's bringing out truth that has been previously unknown. We saw in chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 1, that Paul addresses this to saints who are also believers in Christ Jesus. Every believer in God, every believer is a saint, but not all believers are believers in Christ Jesus. And we pointed out that not all believe in the teachings concerning the risen and ascended Christ, the teachings concerning Christ Jesus. The 12 apostles were apostles of Jesus Christ, where Paul is an apostle of Christ Jesus, because the apostles, they ministered with our Lord when he was on earth up to his ascension. Well, Paul begins with the ascension, and there's a difference in the ministries. They were representatives of Christ to the 12 tribes of Israel, and the apostle Paul is the apostle of the risen and ascended Christ to the nations. Well, Paul says, "Therefore, I also, on hearing of this faith that corresponds to you," in other words, a faith that you, the teaching that is concerning you as believers in this company called the body of Christ. And I want to show you a parallel in 1 Peter, because Peter is writing in 1 Peter chapter 1 to a group of people concerning their salvation. It says in verse 10 of 1 Peter 1, concerning which salvation the prophets seek out and search out, who prophesy concerning the grace which is for you. You see that? 1 Peter 1, 10 and 11. It's a grace for them, for these believers. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, we read this toward the end of this letter. Peter says this, through Silvanus, a faithful brother, as I am reckoning, I write briefly to you, entreating and deposing that this is the true grace of God in which you are to stand. Now, you and I stand in a different grace. Paul in Romans 5 talks about the grace that we stand in. Well, Ephesians here talks about the faith that corresponds with us. In other words, God had one program for Israel. They believed it. It was a faith and a grace for them. And those who are members of the ecclesia, which is his body, have a grace and a faith for them. It's teaching concerning them and their celestial allotment. Not all people have the same calling. As we pointed out earlier, our blessing is not on the earth. It's not soulish. It's not connected with flesh and blood, because that is for Israel. That already belongs to Israel. If you and I are to be blessed on earth, we'd be subservient to Israel. But you, because this is their sphere of blessing, but you and I, as members of his body, our allotment is among the celestials. Pardon me one second. I had to get a little sip of coffee there. Well, we read here, we continue. Therefore, I also, on hearing of this faith, the faith corresponding to you in the Lord Jesus. And I pray that everyone listening to the sound of my voice would embrace this teaching. And it says that in verse 16, and that for all the saints. In other words, this faith is for all the saints. There, it's a call to everyone to believe this message. He says, do not cease giving thanks for you, making mention in my prayers. And now here's Paul praying. And I want you to notice what Paul is praying for. Paul is not praying that they get a better job, or they marry the blonde or the brunette, or whether they should move to Tennessee, or Alabama, or Chicago. This prayer is very specific. It's concerning something specific. And by the way, these prayers are meant to be prayed. When Paul prayed in Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3, we're going to see, these are prayers that you and I should pray. And those of you who are listening to me right now, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer of Ephesians 1. Pray this prayer for a while. Pray it for yourself and for others around, that God would do this. Because the teachings of the Scripture are not something that we just cram information into our heads. It's something that has to take hold of us. And God has to do that work, by the way. You and I do not get understanding into God's purposes and God's ways in the Scripture just because we're smart. We only get it when God reveals it to us. Well, here's Paul's prayer. He goes, does not cease giving thanks for you, making mention in my prayers that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now remember, in Ephesians 1, Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is he's the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're going to see in Ephesians 1, the prayer is addressed to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it's concerned with the power that roused Christ from the dead and seated him at his own right hand. Then in Ephesians chapter 3, the prayer is to the Father. And so we're going to see the distinctive prayers here. Well, here's the prayer. It goes, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. Interesting phrase. The Father of glory. And we saw great glory in these passages. Verse 6 of Ephesians 1, for the laud of his glory. Verse 12, for the laud of his glory. Verse 14, for the laud of his glory. And now we read here, he's the Father of glory. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may be given you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the realization of him. Now that word is interesting, realization. It means connecting with some previous fact. Well, what fact are they to connect with here? What is Paul praying? He's praying that these Ephesians might have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the realization of him. What is Paul praying for? He's praying. Paul had just given great teaching in Ephesians 1, 3 to 14, and now he stops and prays because he wants them to connect with these things. He doesn't want them just to be words on a page. He wants to that they he wants that the Father may be giving them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the realization of him. Notice that. It's the realization of a person. The eyes of your heart having been enlightened for you to perceive, he's talking about perception, what is the expectation of his calling and what the riches of the glory of the enjoyment of his allotment among the saints, and what the transcendent greatness of his power applied or for us who are believing. Now, so Paul pray his prayer here is that they might have realization that God the Father, that God would give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the realization of him. And I think he's referring to Christ. The eyes of your heart having been enlightened for you to perceive three things. First of all, one, what is the expectation of his calling? Now notice it doesn't talk about our calling. In Ephesians 4, we're going to see that we're to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called. That's our calling. Now here, but here in Ephesians 1, we're first concerned with Christ. You see, friends, before you and I discover what plans and what position and what roles God has for us in his creation, we must first find out what Christ's role is. See, Christ is the most important of all. In all things, he's to have the preeminence. And as we spoke about the other day about the allotment, the modern translations say inheritance, but an allotment, we found out that the most important thing is what's Christ's allotment? What does he get? And when we discover what he gets, then we can find out what our role is. And so he is praying that we might know what is the expectation of his calling, that's Christ's calling, and what the riches of the glory of the enjoyment of his allotment among the saints. Some have translated this among the heavenlies or the celestials, and I can go either way on that. I think that might be correct. And then it says, and what the transcendent greatness of his power for us who are believing, in this power that's applied to us who are believing. Now, I can probably spend a lot of time using a lot of words trying to explain this, but let's pray this. I'm going to pray this with you right now. Father, we pray to you, God our Father, God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that you may be giving us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the realization of him. The eyes of our heart having been enlightened for us to perceive what is the expectation of his calling and what the riches of the glory of the enjoyment of his allotment among the saints and what the transcendent greatness of his power for us who are believing. That's my prayer, Paul's prayer for us, and we'll continue on this thought next time. This is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. A few announcements. Go to our website at crossandthrone.com. You can get our audio files there for free. Get a copy of the Concordant Version and the Concordant Commentary and some other materials, and take us up on that offer for that book on spirit, spirits, and spirituality. You can send a payment to P.O. Box 421. And by the way, for that book, Spirit, Spirits, and Spirituality, and What is Soul, $12 to P.O. Box 421, Round Lake, Illinois, 60073. We're having a conference coming up September 18th, 19th, and 20th. 20th, 2009 in Fox Lake, Illinois. Go to our website for further details. Come join us. We're going to have some folks from the Concordant Concern. Martin Zender will be speaking at our conference. I will, and we hope you come and join us for a great time in the Scriptures. Again, that's September 18th through the 20th. Again, this is Dan Sheridan. Until next time, the closer you draw near to Christ, as he's revealed in the Word, the less ceremonial and religious you will be.